It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Small cities unite. What can Pittsburgh, Providence, Copenhagen, and other small cities learn from each other? I'm joined now by Andy Cutler. He is the driving force behind a movement to connect smaller cities throughout the world. Also joining us for this conversation is Thomas Buell, who is Director of Marketing at Global Pittsburgh. First, Andy Cutler, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
And Thomas Buell, good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
If you'd like to join the conversation, 412-246-2002, 412-246-2002. What do you think Pittsburgh can learn from cities like Providence and Copenhagen that I didn't realize was really that small or a comparable size to Pittsburgh, but evidently it is? What can Pittsburgh learn from these cities? What can they learn from us? What do we have here in the Steel City to teach cities of comparable size around the world and around the country? Andy Cutler, where did the idea for Small Cities Unite come from?
I'm not from Providence. I'm not from Rhode Island. I spent my whole career around the U.S. in very large cities, I might add. And in 2003, I had the opportunity to move to Providence. And
who doesn't want to move there?
And who doesn't want to move to Providence, right? And so once I moved there, I started being introduced to not only the history of the place, which was pretty remarkable, but the individuals that currently live there now, whether they be students at Brown and RISD, entrepreneurs, designers, artists that live there, and just was so impressed with the place. And as I talked to more and more people outside of Providence, they just didn't know anything about the city, where it was, geographically where it was. And so I started down this path of looking at how do cities brand themselves? How do cities get the word out? And by traditional means, a lot of cities look at marketing and look at sister city kind of programs. But to be honest with you, Paul, a lot of those are just on paper. And so I was looking for a much more real way for people to interact with one another. And that's from whence the idea came.
And really, Providence, and I have been there several times from having lived in New England, and it's a city that, you know, on the surface, it's a lot like Pittsburgh in the sense that it's very easy to develop misconceptions about Providence.
Absolutely.
Which is a very diverse city, like Pittsburgh in some ways, mm-hmm. and which is, you mentioned, these may have really flown by people, but you said RISD, that's Rhode Island School of Design.
Rhode Island School of Design,
and then
yes.
Brown University. So there is an educational component there, much like we have here with CMU, Pitt, Duquesne,
yes.
Point Park, and please forgive me if I missed anybody, CCAC. I hope I got everybody covered. But there is a real interesting mix of ideas and visions in these cities, aren't there?
Absolutely. If you look at a city like Pittsburgh, for example, there's a tremendous amount of work being done in the area of robotics. If you look at a city like Providence, there's a tremendous amount of work being done in the area of design. And so that make them world leaders respectively, regardless of their size, of Pittsburgh being about 300,000 people and Providence being about 178,000 people. So I think a big part of Smaller Cities Unite is really about emphasizing the fact that great things can happen in smaller places. Not everything has to happen in New York, San Francisco, London, or Tokyo.
And this is your first visit to Pittsburgh. So what has impressed you about the city?
I think there are a couple of things. And one is surprising to me. One is not so surprising to me. The thing that's not surprising to me is the people. People like Tom from Global Pittsburgh and other folks I've met with. I've met with Karen Abrams and Robert Rubenstein from the URA, Justin Strong from the Ava Lounge, Jackie Shimshoni, who's a grad student at CMU. All these people and individuals are doing phenomenal work in the community. What did surprise me, and I wasn't aware of, and it's not something you see marketed about Pittsburgh, is this DIY attitude towards fixing things. And probably the best example of that I saw was Bike Pittsburgh. So there was no bicycle advocacy program here 10, 15 years ago. A group of people got together, and they just did it. And I think that's what other cities can learn from places like Pittsburgh and Providence.
And Thomas Buell from Global Pittsburgh, how did you first connect with Andy?
Andy and I met on Twitter, of all places. Social networking is a great way to share information, to learn about things that are going on. So we sort of gravitated toward each other, some of the things that Andy's doing in Pittsburgh and that we're doing, in Providence and we're trying to do here, seemed to connect. We started talking. He expressed an interest in things that are going on in Pittsburgh, the new mayor, a lot of the grassroots activities. So We said, well, maybe you ought to come down here and meet people. So I've been trying to help set up meetings. Global Pittsburgh deals with connecting Pittsburgh with the world. But to me, global isn't necessarily international. It's a way of thinking about things in a progressive and open-minded way. So we figured, again, if Andy can learn from things we're doing here, if we can learn from things that Andy and others are doing in Providence, then we can all benefit. So it's really been we're not exactly sure what the outcome will be, but we've already made some good connections and realized some good opportunities.
We're talking with Andy Cutler and Thomas Buell. Andy Cutler is the driving force behind a movement to connect smaller cities throughout the world, currently a resident of Providence, Rhode Island, a city of comparable size to Pittsburgh. Thomas Buell, again, director of marketing at Global Pittsburgh. And I mentioned also in this equation, Copenhagen, or Copenhagen, tomato, tomato. How big is Copenhagen?
Copenhagen's a lot larger on the scale. And so I think when I started this process, this has been an evolutionary or iterative process in the sense that the question is, what's small? So that was where I kind of first started. I have to say, Paul, my interpretation of small has changed. So what I thought once was small, about 1.2 million people, let's say, in Copenhagen, is pretty large. And as I kind of started to develop, one of the things that makes Pittsburgh and Providence, I should have said this up front, makes it pretty unique is, and I'm sure it's shared here, is in Providence we have a joke that there's not 6 degrees of separation for people. There's 1 degree of separation. If I want to get to a U.S. senator, if I want to get to a university chief, if I want to get to an entrepreneur, you're never more than one phone call away. That is really instrumental in making these kind of partnerships work, these grassroots partnerships work, because I can get on the phone, call you on Tom's behalf, and within half an hour, you guys can be connected. When you live in a larger city, and I experienced this in Copenhagen, there were two designers that were right down the street from each other who had no idea that they existed, and yet they were doing similar things. So larger cities, again, doesn't mean closer knit networks. Smaller cities actually does, and there's a real advantage to that.
And should the perception be tilted or adjusted in some way for a city that really casts a shadow? For example, Pittsburgh culturally has had a real impact on the rest of the country and in many ways the rest of the world, certainly with what we export. Traditionally the steel, now more so the meds and eds, the ideas that come out of here, and then culturally – The Steelers, there are people all over the world that follow the Pittsburgh Steelers, and if nothing else, we're known for that. We're known for being a great sports town. So does that in some way eclipse the idea that because of the size of the population, the city is therefore small? Do the ideas coming out of the city make it larger? Thomas, you're nodding your head.
Yeah, I think so, and it really the shadow you cast is sometimes not always in proportion to the actual population, but some of these things are larger than life. But that, as you say, is how Pittsburgh is known around the world. But we're also known for the symphony and the universities. And I think again, these are things that can be connected, whether they're sister cities in the U.S. or sister cities in the around the world. That they become icons in different ways. So again, it's all about opportunity and making the best of what you have. Sometimes if you don't have a government or a city that has a lot of money, then you find other ways to do it. Here in Pittsburgh, the foundations have been a big help. But I think it's doing the most with what you have.
Well, and you mentioned the symphony, and we were just talking about Iran and the Pittsburgh Symphony. When you talk about its reputation, there's a reason why it may be the symphony that goes to Iran sometime in the not-too-distant future to help maybe break the ice in the relationship there. So I would ask you then, Thomas, so far, what have you learned from Providence that can help Pittsburgh?
I think in many ways it's just given me a confidence in the things that we're doing here can work because they've worked in Providence, and also sometimes when you have a fresh set of eyes coming to a place, you see things through their eyes, and it helps you make different evaluations of things. Plus, it's just a matter of connecting. I've been sitting in on meetings with Andy all week and met people that I may not have known well or started to make connections that, you know, we're all in our silos in a way. So that's been very helpful in inspiring me to make connections here and with people in Providence. So it's an eye-opener.
And Andy, tell us about the meetings that you've attended and who you've met in addition to Thomas here.
Sure. So I've met with folks from the URA, your Urban Redevelopment Authority, Betty Cruz from the city of Pittsburgh, John Fetterman. I came from a meeting this morning. The mayor, Braddock, has received a lot of international attention. Bike Pittsburgh, students at CMU. And so it's been a real diverse group of people I've met with, representing a wide array of interests and entities here. But I've been really impressed with just about everyone I've met.
And I understand that you've met a lot of people in Pittsburgh who are not natives. Did that surprise you?
It did a little bit. I would say about 90% of the people I've connected with are actually not natives of Pittsburgh. And I think if you go to a city like Providence and meet similar folks, I think you'll find that to be the case as well. I heard a statistic once about Providence not too long ago that 50% of the city had not lived there 10 years prior. And so it is a city of immigrants in its truest sense, just from all over.
And I understand it has its first Hispanic mayor.
First Latino mayor, Angel Tavares, who's been a big supporter of Smaller Cities Unite. And this effort that I'm engaged with, yes.
So is there something that maybe Pittsburgh, and I'll just toss this out to either of you, is there something Pittsburgh can learn about from Providence, say, for example, about opening up to the idea of more diversity in political leadership, which we really haven't had here, a largely white, male-dominated city council, white mayors. We've never had a black mayor in this town. We're seeing a little more diversity at the leadership level in Providence. So what does that say? What kind of message might that send to Pittsburgh, Thomas?
Well, I think it sends a clear message that, you know, the world is full of many cultures, and Pittsburgh, for various reasons, has been less diverse, or that some of the economic benefits have not always trickled down to the underserved communities, the African-American population. But there are a lot more people now thinking that has to change, and Global Pittsburgh's working on that. Even Bike Pittsburgh, they told us that they're working on making sure that their activities and their members and board leadership become more diverse. But, you know, if Pittsburgh got left behind when the steel industry became more international because it didn't adapt to change. And if you look at other cities, other states, other countries are working hard to attract outsiders, newcomers to come create jobs, bring new ideas, create a whole new population of consumers, and if we're trying to help Pittsburgh adapt in that way too, but to become more diverse, whether it's internally or by attracting more newcomers, because that's really the wave of the future. And if we find ourselves left behind again and stop growing and evolving, whether it's in political leadership or economic or population diversity, then I think it'll have a negative effect on the city in the long run.
And Andy, you've traveled to a number of cities. What have you found is the best way to get to know them? What do you do?
I think what's been done here, which is actually sitting down with people in their homes, sitting down with people for a beer after work, for a coffee before they start the day. I think just sitting down and asking a key question: how can I help you? So I know that sounds kind of trite, or it may sound trite, but it really is not intended to be. It's very genuine. I think a lot of issues. I've done a lot of work in the area of economic development, and where I've seen things go kind of awry in those discussions, Paul, is when you and I are trying to. If I'm thinking about moving my company to Pittsburgh, if we start the conversation off with "What kind of incentives do you have for me?" those conversations are doomed in many different ways. But if we start a conversation off by saying, "Hey, what are your challenges, and how can I help you?" and start there, you have a much different conversation. So that's my big takeaway.
Andy Cutler is the driving force behind a movement to connect smaller cities throughout the world. He lives in Providence. He's not a native of Providence, but he lives there, and he's visiting Pittsburgh. And we're glad to have him here, also taking part in our conversation Thomas Buell, Director of Marketing at Global Pittsburgh. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for the conversation.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Coming up, we will check out what's new on the restaurant scene, the dining scene, as it were, in Pittsburgh with Melissa McCart. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.